Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Pesachim Daf Kuf Tes. We are learning today Leila Nishmas Ralph Weinstein, Raphael Eliezer Ben Ruvain, Jay Weinstein's father. As I mentioned the other day, Jay is a longtime member of the Shir. His mother's yard site was last week, and today's his father's yard site. All the Nishons we learn for should have an Aliyah. We begin Kuf Tes Omad Aleph, about 10 lines down from the top, with the Braisa, Tana Rabbanim. Chazal learned in the following Braisa. Person is obligated to make his entire family happy. Banov Nebeso means his family happy during the Shlosh Regalim. This is based upon the Pasuk Shinema, Visamachto Bichagecha. Person should make his family happy during the Chagim. Samachto Bichagecha, Uvincha, Vitecha, Abducha, Vamoscha, etc. So all of these people need to be made happy. And Tosus points out that this pasuk, "Samachto ato ve'secha," is a tema. The ha'kor gabi ma'isa sheni ksiv. This pasuk is by parsha of ma'isa sheni in parshas rei. V'lo ma'isi kor the ksiv of parshas rei gabi regel. "V'samachto ato ve'necha ve'secha." Why didn't it bring down that pasuk instead? So Tosus answers, "Yishlom adiyalif mi ma'isa the ksiv beiso behedya." There it talks about ve'secha, and therefore. That's why we want to Bedavka bring this one, because it's talking about Banov Ubnei Beso. So that's why this pasuk was used, which is similar din for Ma'aser Sheni as it is for the Chagim. So how are you supposed to go and make your family happy? So the Gemara says, B'ayin, go and give them wine. Now Tosus points out over here as well, Hainu Bizman Hazet, that's nowadays in Nebuch, we're living without the Beis HaMikdash. Abizman Beis HaMikdash, during the days of the Beis HaMikdash, Ein Simcha LeBasar. Then the Basar from a carbon, that's the ideal way to be Mesameach somebody. Bring a carbon Shlomim and to eat it. And that is the ideal Simcha. So nowadays that we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, so the Gemara says, B'yayin, that we have wine. Reuven disagrees, Reuven Omer, it depends who you are. He brings down a Tosefta, which we only quote part of the Tosefta. Says Anoshim Beroy Lehem, Vinoshim Beroy Lehem, and then the Tosefta actually continues that Uktanim Beroy Lehem. The children also have a need to be Mesameach, as we brought down from the pasuk, and men, women, and children are all going to become happy in different ways. So the Gemara says, Anoshim, how do you make a man happy? Beroy Lehem, what is normally done for a man is Biyayin. A man likes a good glass of wine, and therefore that will make him happy. What about women? Women aren't so interested in wine. It's so interesting, the din is that technically a woman, according to many opinions, doesn't have to fast on the day of a wedding, whereas a man has to fast on the day of his wedding. And that's because we're concerned that if a man were not to fast, he might have wine, and then he'll become intoxicated, and then the kiddushin that he gives to his wife would be potentially not when he is a bar das, because he's drunk and intoxicated, and it would be a kiddushin that would not go through. It would be a mekachtos of some sort. It would be a really invalid kiddushin. So that's why men have to fast, so they don't drink wine. But there is an opinion that says women don't have to fast, because there's no concern that a woman will get drunk. So therefore, noshim b'mai, if it's not going to be wine that's going to make him happy, what makes a woman happy? So the Gemara says, Tani Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef lived in the Braisa, in Babel, they would like big day tzivonim. Women like clothing, and therefore getting them nice colored clothing. That's what would make a woman happy. And in Eretz Yisrael, the big day pishdon miguatzin. In Eretz Yisrael, they knew how to clean clothing very, very well, so they would take flax clothing and do this gihutz process, and this would make them very happy. It's like new clothing. Tosus points out over here as well that B'kli pishdon hamuguhatsin, that's in Eretz Yisrael. Avavavavavav, lohiyu b'kiyim legayitz. In Babel, they didn't know how properly to do this gihutz, do this type of cleaning. As it says, gidomer in the Moran Tainis, gihutz shalonu kikibu shalahem. The gihutz that they did in Babel wasn't as good as the gihutz in Eretz Yisrael. That was just like regular laundry that they did in Eretz Yisrael. In any event, this is halacha l'maisa. A man has to buy his wife things for yontif. In order to be mesamecha's wife, there's a mitzvah asay that a man should go buy his wife clothing or something else that she would like, jewelry, something like that, for yontif, to be mesamecha's wife. V'samachta v'chagecha. And likewise with the children, it doesn't bring it down over here in the Gemara, but in Tosefta it says that you have to buy your children things like kloyos ve'gozim, candies or toys that the children will like. Tanya, the Gemara continues and brings another brisa. Says Yehuda Mizera, Omer, Yehuda Mizera taught us. Bisman she basically the kayim during the days that the basic English was around. Ain simcha lebabasa. Like Tosus pointed out, this is where Tosus got it from. The real simcha is eating the basar of a carbon shlomim. For regular Yisrael, that's the most common basar that he would be able to eat, and this is the greatest simcha to eat the carbon meat from a carbon shlomim. And this is based upon the pasuk Shneimar, V'zavachto shlomim v'yochalto sham. This pasuk tells us that you'll bring a korban shlamim, you'll eat it in Eretz Yisrael, you'll eat it in Yerushalayim, and you'll be very happy in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Again, Tosus points out another tema, that this pasuk is really not dealing with the regalim. This is from a pasuk that came when they entered into Eretz Yisrael in Har Eva, and this isn't talking about the chagim. So again, why is this pasuk being used? So again, Tosus answers, Mishum, because here it specifically mentions the shechita and the bringing of the korban shlamim, and that's why this pasuk is used. In any event, the Gemara continues and says, Nebuch, nowadays, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash nowadays. Mentioned many times, if the Beis HaMikdash is not rebuilt in our lifetime, so then it's as if it was destroyed in our lifetime, and we're doing the same sins, Nebuch, that caused the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. So therefore, so the simcha that we have today is with wine. Wine makes a person happy. Now, there's a whole big discussion amongst the poskim as to whether this idea that basar is really basar of a korban shlamim, is there any aspect of simcha in regards to regular basar? Is there a chiv to go and have regular basar on Shabbos and Yom Tov? So many poskim say that, in fact, if you can't have basar from a korban shlamim, so then regular non-korban basar also fulfills this concept of simcha on Shabbos and Yom Tov. And many poskim suggest that you should have meat on Shabbos and Yom Tov. And then there's a whole separate discussion, even when you say that you have meat, does it have to be basar from a behema, or would fowl, chicken or duck or something like that, would that satisfy the requirement of meat on Yom Tov or on Shabbos? And there were even poskim that would talk about whether fish would satisfy that requirement as well. Fish is sometimes also referred to as basar. In any event, ideally, we paskin halacha l'maisa, a person should try to have meat on Shabbos and Yom Tov. If he can't have meat, so then he should try to at least have chicken. Gemara continues and says, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak tells us, kasta, or some have the girsa, kista, is a certain type of container, mida, and it was normally used, this type of a container was used to sell murios. Murios is fish brine. So, kasta or kista de moraisa, how big is that? The Hava B'Tzipori that was standard used in Tzipori, which is a big town. So this was familiar to everybody. So he Havas Kemin Logo de Mikdosha. This standard type of a container known as a kasta or a kist, it says on the side in the Aruch, was a well-known measure that contained a log, which was used in the Beis HaMikdash. Now, this log in the Beis HaMikdash is the standard that we use for a revius of a log. Our standard revius is a quarter of a log. So, Uba Misharin revius shel Pesach. And this is what we said, that you need to have a drink, a revius of wine on Pesach. So, what they would do is they would take this container known as the kist or the kasta. They would use this to measure out wine in the amount of a log. And then they would divide that up into the four cups, each of them getting a quarter of this log, which is a revius, which is what we said is the right amount of wine that you have to have for each kos at the Seder. As the Rashbam says, Mimalin osa, they would fill this up, Umachalkin osa liarba kosos, and then they would divide it up into four cups. The log is arba revius. This is an important formula that one log has within it four revius, because it's a revius of a log, a quarter of a log. So, like a dollar has four quarters in it, so a log has four reviuses in it. Furthermore, the Gemara says, I'm Rabbi Yochanan, says, Tamniyosa, Kabiyosa. This measure known as a Tamniyosa, Rashbam says this is a Mida, and he says this is something that was known as Tumon, and there's another measure called Uchla that are mentioned in Masechta Sota. Tosus doesn't like this. Ainan Tosus Tam Yosef for his reasons why. In any event, it's a certain type of a measure that was common in the city, the Hava B'Tveria, again, another major, large Jewish metropolis. So, this measure is well known to people. So, this early, original Tam Yosef measure that was used in Tveria, Hava Yisera was larger Alda than the currently used Tamniyosa of today, meaning in the times of the Gemara. So they had this original Tamniyosa measure, and then they had the current modern time of the Gemara Tamniyosa measure, and the original one, Havi Yisera, Alda Riva, and the original Tamniyosa had a revius of a log more in it than the current modern time of the Gemara measure of a Tamniyosa. So therefore, Uba Misharin Revius Shel Pesach. So when they wanted to go and use a revius on Pesach, what they did was they filled up the original Tamniyosa container, they poured out from the original container into the current Tamniyosa container, and what was left over in the original container was a revius, and that's how they measured a revius for Pesach. And that's what the Rishbam says. Shemimal and Osa, they would fill up the original Tamni Yosa, Umar and Lesoch, Osa Shal Achshav, and they would go and pour it into the current one that they were using, and the leftover in the original one, that it was more than the current one, Achim Leia, they fill up the new one, Umayim Hanisharim, the water that was left over, Tamni Yosa, the original Tamni Yosa, that was a revius. That was what was left over, because the original one was a revius more than the current one, and that's how they measured it out. Ubal Misharin, revius Shal Pesach. Our Ruchistah tells us, Revius Shal Torah, this Revius in the Torah. The Rashbam explains, Kigon, Revius, Yayin Shal Nozir. A Nozir is going to be Chayiv Makis if he has a Revius of wine. This is Halacha Moshe Misinai. Revius Dam Abba Mishnei Mason. We have a whole discussion, Machlok between Rabbi Kiva and the Chachamim, as to whether Revius Dam from two people is Matame. We know Revius Dam is Matame if it's from one person. The question is it Matame if it's from two separate people? And likewise, we could go Revius Shemen or Rikiki Nazir. You have to use a Revius Shemen to make the wafers that are used for the Nazir's carbon. So all of these require a Revius. So this amount, Rav Chisda says, the Revius that's needed for these dinim in the Torah, how do you figure it out? So he says, you take a container that is Etzba'ayim al Etzba'ayim, it's two Etzba, by two etzba in the length and the width, and in the height, berom, in the height, it's etzba'ayim, it's two etzba, plus chatzi etzba, plus a half of an etzba, plus the chomish etzba, plus a fifth of an etzba. That comes to a total of two, plus a half, plus a fifth, and together that comes to 2 7/10 of an etzba. If you make a half into 5/10, and the 1/5 is 2/10, so 5/10 plus 2/10 is 7/10. And you have starting off with 2 etzbaim, so you get 2 7/10. So the dimensions of this amount of a container that would hold the revius is 2 etzba in length, 2 etzba in width, by a height of 2 7/10 etzba. Which etzba are we talking about? So we mentioned this the other day. The standard etzba is either the thumb, so 4 etzbos, 4 thumbs at the width of the thumb, at the widest part in the joint of the thumb, before the knuckle, the proximal joint of the thumb, so that at its width, at its widest point, 4 of those make a tefach. So that's the etzba that we're referring to over here. There's another opinion I mentioned previously that it's talking an etzba means the middle finger, and you need 5 of those to make a tefach, or you need 6 pinkies to make a tefach. So here we're referring to the biggest finger, which is the thumb, and that is where 4 of them make up a tefach. That's the etzba that we refer to when we say a simple etzba. That always refers to the thumb. Now, how does Rav Chisda know this, that the keli that's going to hold a revius is going to be a cubic structure that is 2 in the length, 2 etzba in the length, 2 etzba in the width, and 2 7/10 etzba in the height? How does he know this? Kidatanya. Because this is based upon the following brisa. The pasuk tells us, v'rachatz b'mayim is called b'saro. In a number of other places, we have a different pasuk that's used. This is the right pasuk. In all those other places, they change it to this pasuk, v'rachatz b'mayim is called b'saro. And this teaches us, we darshan out, in order for a person to go into mikvah, shelo yehi dover chotzeis bein b'saro l'mayim, there can't be any interposition, there can't be any chatzisa between the person going into the mikvah and the water, and he has to immerse himself b'mayim in a mikvah, b'mei mikvah, and he has to be able to immerse all of his body into the mikvah at the same time in order to be kosher a mikvah. And as kol b'saral, that teaches us mayim shakol gufo ole bohed, that your entire body can be immersed at one time in a kosher mikvah, which we know is 40 saw. That's halachah Moshe Mitzrayim. And how much is this? How do we actually calculate out to make a proper sized mikvah? How do you know that it has 40 saw? The kamahein. We turn to the Amud Beis, Kufkes Amud Beis, and the Gemara tells us that this structure for the mikvah will have the dimensions of Amma, Al-Amma, Berum, Shalosh, Amos. In order to have 40 saw, the halachah Moshe Mitzrayim amount that you need to have an entire person immersed in, it would have to be a structure, a cubic structure, that is 1 amma length, 1 amma width, and a height of 3 amma. V'shi'aru chachamim, that this shear, the amount that this mikvah can hold, of mei mikvah, is arboim saw. It holds 40 saw, which is halacha l'moshe Mitzrayim. Tosus points out, Odom in Dibra Maskel, amma al amma, says, Odom machzik in begodav, amma bi amma. Person has the dimensions of 1 by 1 by 3. And this way, he'll put his entire body in the mikvah this way. Problem is, also we say that a person is a dimension of 4 amas tall. So the answer is, when he goes into the mikvah, he displaces the water, and the water will rise up another amma. So this way, his entire body will be in a mikvah that is 1 by 1 by 3, because the water will go up higher when he goes inside the mikvah, and it will reach up to 4 amma. And that's basically what the Tosos Amma al Amma and the Tosos Berum Shalosh Amas are telling us. Now, this was brought down to support the idea that a revius is determined by two etzba, by two etzba, by two, and 7/10 etzba in its height, that cubic structure. So how do you get from this 1 by 1 by 3 amma, 40 saw mikvah, to see that a revius is 2 etzba by 2 etzba by 2 and 7/10 etzba? So there are a number of ways to calculate it. Rashi and Rashbam will be have very complex ways that are really beautiful to calculate it out, because they're doing it without a calculator, so they're basically dividing up the mikvah into small pieces, and you can therefore see what the size of a 2 etzba by 2 etzba by 2 and 7/10 etzba will come to. You can go through these calculations yourself, but we can go through them much more easily, and in fact, this is what the Rabbeinu Hananel does by the following simple calculation. How many revises are going to be in 40 saw? So this is a very simple calculation. A saw has 6 kavim inside of it, right? There's a mnemonic that I've mentioned many times in the past, osak lev, the letters aleph, samach, kuf, lamed, beis, osak lev, and if you put in between them gudu, gimel, vav, dalid, vav, in between them, that shows you the relationship between all of these measures. Again, if you're trying to see what I'm saying, write out on a piece of paper the letters osak lev, aleph, samach, kuf, lamed, beis, and then underneath it, those are 5 letters, and in the spaces in between, there are 4 spaces in between these 5 letters, write gudu, gimel, vav, dalid, vav. Now, that bottom number, gimel, vav, dalid, vav, is going to tell you the relationship between each of the top 5 letters. So in between the aleph and the samach, you have a gimel. So there are 3 saw in 1 ephah. The next one is going to be a vav in between samach and the kuf. So they're going to be 6 kav in every saw. Next one is going to be the kav and the osak lev. Lamed is log. So you're going to have, for that one, dalid. So there's going to be dalid login, 4 log, in every kav. And the last one is between lev, lamed is the log, and beis is a beitza. There will be a vav there, gudu, the last vav. So there are going to be 6 beitza in every log. Now, we don't need the beitza for this calculation, but we do need to know that you have a log, so there's a revius of a log, that's called the revius. And there are obviously going to be 4 revius in a log. That's not part of this mnemonic, but that's obvious because you're dealing with a quarter, and a quarter is going to be 4 quarters in one log. So basically what we said was, if you have a saw, which we said is 6 kavin, and then you have a kav, has 4 lugin, so a saw is going to have 24 lugin, because it has 6 kavin, and each kav has 4 lugin, so that's 24. So a single saw has 24 lugin. Now, if you want to take a revius of a log, you're going to have to multiply that by 4. So it's going to be 24 times 4, which is 96. So one saw, therefore, has 96 reviuses. Now, if you have 40 saw, you're going to have 40 times 96. You do the math, that 40 times 100 would be 4,000, and then you just subtract 4 times 40, which is 160, just do this in your head, it's 3,840. If you didn't get that, just multiply 40 by 96, and you get 3,840. So that's how many revises there are in a 40-saw container, which we said is a kosher mikvah. So a kosher mikvah has 3,840 revises. Now, we also said that that 40-saw has 1 amma by 1 amma by 3 amma in terms of how much it contains. So that is the amount which if you transfer to tfachim, so each amma has 6 tfachim in it. So instead of saying 1 amma, you can say 6 tfachim, and each tefach has 4 of these agudals, each of them has 4 thumbs, so 1 amma is equal to 6 tfachim, which is equal to 24 etzbos. So when you're saying something is 1 amma by 1 amma by 3 amma, what you're also saying is that it's 24 etzbos, 1 amma, by 24 etzbos, 1 amma, times 3 in its height, 3 amma is going to be 18 tfachim, times 4 is going to be 72 etzbos. So therefore, the dimensions of this entire container, when you convert it from amma to tfachim to etzbos, is going to be 24 times 24 times 72. And if you multiply that together, you get the number 41,472. Thus, we figured out that there are, in fact, 41,472 cubic etzbos is equal to the total number of revises, which we said, we calculated was 3,840. So now it's simple math. If 3,840 revieses equals 41,472 cubic etzbos, so you just divide each side by 3,840 to get how much one revius is worth. So 3,840 into 3,840 is one revius, and if you divide 41,472 by 3,840, that number comes out to 10.8 cubic etzbos. So one revius is equal to 10.8 cubic etzbos. That number is exactly 2 etzba by 2 etzba by 2 and 7/10 etzba, 2.7. And therefore, that's how you get that one revius can be contained in a container that is 2 etzbos by 2 etzbos by 2 and 7/10 etzbos. If you got that math, fine. If you didn't get the math, fine. Just go on in the Gemara, because that's the bottom line, that Rav Chisda said that revius in the Torah is going to be 2 etzba by 2 etzba by 2 and 7/10 etzba. That is how he got it, because of the fact that 40 saw is going to be a 1 by 1 by 3 cubic amma structure. Let's go weiter in the Gemara. Amr Ravashi, Ravashi says, Amali Ravin Bar Chinina, Ravin Bar Chinina taught me that Shulchan Shel Mikdash Shel Prokem Hava. The Shulchan, which had the Lechem upon him on it at all times, except it was taken off on Shabbos, and Rebbe Machlokis, was the new one put on immediately, or could there be a period of time on Shabbos when it didn't have to have the Lechem Lefanai Tomid? So that's a whole Machlokis in the Gemara. And essentially, the Shulchan was always having the Lechem upon him on it at all times, with the exception possibly of a little bit of time on Shabbos. So the Shulchan and the Beis HaMikdash, must have been made up of component parts. Now, we know the dimensions of the Shulchan that taught us in Chumash, that the dimensions of the Shulchan are 2 amas was its length, it had 1 amma as its width, and it had 1.5 amma as its height. That says in the Pasukim in Shemos. Now, so it must be, Ravin Bar Chinina said to Ravashi, that it must be that the Shulchan was made in 2 halves, and you could take it apart. And these 2 halves were not welded to each other. If you're telling me that they weren't removable parts, but they were actually tightly attached to each other, that's haduke havimihadek. So then, how could they have immersed it in this mikvah that was 1 amma by 1 amma by 3 amma, if you're telling me that it's exactly going to be 1 amma in its width? So even though it is 2 amma in its length, so no problem, that will fit into the 3 amma, but the 1 amma it's width is not going to be able to fit into a mikvah that's exactly 1 amma. The fact that the legs are there, the legs, everybody agrees, would be taken off. Otherwise, it certainly wouldn't be able to fit in, because the legs are 1.5 amma. So the legs could be taken off, and if you left them with a 1 amma by 2 amma, how is that going to fit into a 1 amma area? So therefore, he's saying that it must be that they weren't tightly attached, that they were able to be broken up into 2 separate parts. And you can see a diagram of this in the art scroll in footnote number 4. So you can clearly see how they took the table in 2 halves, and therefore it could be immersed in the mikvah. Because this is called the Shulchan Ator, the Rashbam says, and therefore it must be that it has the potential to become Tomei. And therefore, it must be that it was able to be taken apart, because the only mikvah that was inside the Azara was 1 amma by 1 amma by 3 amma. The reason why they didn't make that mikvah bigger was because there was a very limited amount of space. That's what the Gemara Numa says. So therefore, this Shulchan must have been able to be taken apart so it could fit inside the mikvah. Now, the Gemara says, who says? My Kusha, why are you saying that that was the only place that they could immerse it? Why did they take it outside? Dilma, B'yam Sh'asa Shlomo Havimat Bilei. In fact, they didn't immerse it in the Azara. They took it outside the Azara, and they immersed it in the Yam Shel Shlomo. The Yam Shel Shlomo was a huge structure that held 6,000 saw. So it could easily contain a 1 amma by 2 amma by 1.5 amma shulchan in this huge 6,000 saw. That's like 150 mikvah. If a mikvah has 40 saw, so 40 into 6,000 goes 150 times. So this Yam Shel Shlomo could contain 40 times 150 mikvos. So therefore, Yam She'asa, the Tani Rav Chiya, Yam She'asa Shlomo, Machzik Meyeh V'chamisha Mikvah Tahara. So therefore, who says that you have to dip it in the Azara? You could take it outside the Azara and immerse it there. So Lav Dafka, that it had to be in detachable parts. Maybe the Shulchan was in fact Haduke Havimahadik. So what was the Hava mean to say that they couldn't take it outside the Azara? So the Ur Chadash says that the Shulchan had to be Lufanai Tomid, and therefore the only time that they could be Tovel it was on Shabbos, when Lechem HaPanim was taken off it for a very short period of time. According to the opinion, it says that the Lechem HaPanim was actually taken off it. There was one opinion that you just slid it right on. As you took one off, you slid the new Lechem HaPanim on. But according to the other opinion, that it was taken off for a short period of time, so the only time they could be Tovelah was on Shabbos. And you weren't allowed to bring it outside the Azara because there is an Isser Shavuos of being doing Tevilas Kelim on Shabbos. That's Misakin Mana. So inside the Azara, there's no Shavuos. But outside the Azara, there would be a concern of a shvus. That's why the original Havamina was that they couldn't take it outside to the Yam Shel Shlomo. Alternatively, the Mitzvah Eson says that the Issa was Hotzah B'Shabbos. You're not allowed to take it outside the Azara. The Azara was an enclosed area, and you're going to move it from that Rishus HaYachid into another area, so then you'd have a problem of Hotzah on Shabbos, even though it may not be going into Rishus HaRabim, it would only be Hotzah D'Rabbanan. So inside the Beis HaMikdash is no problem because Ein Shvus B'Mikdash. That's really in the Azara as well. And therefore, to take it outside to the Yam Shel Shlomo would be at least a problem midrabbanan. So that's the Hava Mina to say why they didn't want to take it out to the Yam Shel Shlomo. Now we quote the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, "V'lo yivchasu lo me'arba." Everybody, even the poorest person in Klai Yisrael, has to get at least 4 cups of wine. Now this introduces a very interesting, very difficult for us to understand sugya, because it deals in esoteric, Kabbalistic type of ideas that we're not familiar with, and that is this concept of zugos. Zugos deals with things that we don't understand, such as shadim, demons, which we don't understand, and kshafim, black magic, necromancy, things like that. And the Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us that kshafim is called kshafim, magic, because it's machishin pamayu shomala. It's a mnemonic for it contradicts, so to say, what goes on in Shemayim. It goes against it. It's machishin pamayu shomala. That's what kshofim do. They go against the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kaviyocho, and that there are these kolchos, these dark kolchos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has put into the world. There's a medrash that tells us that an Avram Avinu sent away all of Hagar's children. He gave them matanos. And some of the matanos that he gave them were the understanding of this sort of black magic, these kishof, these astrology type of things, and that's the matanos that he gave to them. So most of the Rishonim seem to say that these are real kochos of Tumah, and that times of the Gemara, they were much more prevalent and common and of a concern. Our Gemara is going to end off and say, if you're not concerned about it, it's not going to impact you or bother you. And that's pretty much the state of the art today for all of us, that we don't understand this and we're not concerned about this, and therefore it doesn't concern us. But in the times of the Gemara, this concept of zugos, of pairs, had certain serious negative consequences if people didn't follow the rules of zugos. Now, the Rambam's Shita, which is the minority opinion, is that all of this is not real, and that this all of this was fake, and that they really don't have any koichos whatsoever. But the majority opinion is that there are certain koichos, even though we don't understand them. In any event, the Gemara is now going to discuss this concept of zugos. So we just said in the Mishnah, the Chazal instituted that we have 4 kosos, which is an even number. And therefore, the Gemara asks, Hechi misakni rabbanon mide de osi bali de sakano. How could the rabbis have suggested that we go and have 4, an even number of kosos, at the Seder night, when this is going to lead to sakana because of the concept of zugos, of pairs? Things in multiples of 2 are dangerous. But Tanya, as the Brisa teaches us, a person shouldn't have doubles or even numbers of any of the following things. Lo yochal odem trei, a person should not eat 2 of something. Lo yishta trei, he shouldn't drink 2 of something. Have 1 or 3. Have an odd number, but don't have an even number. Lo yikaneach trei, likewise, when you wipe yourself, don't wipe yourself. They used to take rocks. They didn't have toilet paper like we do. And they used to wipe themselves, so don't wipe yourself with 2. Always take an odd number. And likewise, v'lo yatzet tzrochav trei, and don't have tzrochav taken care of twice. Tzrochav, both Rashi and the Rashbam tell us that it means tashmish, that a person shouldn't have relations twice. Have relations once or have relations 3 times, but don't have it twice. All of these things are bad if they're multiples of 2 or multiples of 2. That's called zugos. That's what the Brisa said. So the Gemara says, how could the rabbis have told us that 4 kosos on Pesach night? Isn't that dangerous? So the Gemara is going to give us a number of different terutzim. The first one is from Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman, Amar Kra, because the pasuk tells us, Leil Shimurim Hu LaHashem Lotzio Mi'Eretz Mitzrayim Hu Halayla Hazel LaHashem Shimurim l'chol b'nei Yisrael l'dorosam. And it's this last part of the pasuk that Rashbam says, that it says that it's a night of Shmira. Shimurim l'chol b'nei Yisrael l'dorosam. It will protect us on this night for all generations. So therefore, what Rav Nachman is telling us is that there is no concern about Zugos on this night. We don't say Kriyashma alamita. We only just say the actual Kriyashma and the Bracha of Amapil, but we don't have to say all the rest of the things on the night of the Seder, because those other things are for Shmira, for protection purposes, and this night we don't need special protection. The Shadim can't attack us. And therefore the Zugos, how the Zugos work exactly to cause harm is through the Shadim and through other forces, and those forces have no Shlita, they have no power over us on this Leil Shimurim. And therefore, this night of Pesach is Leil HaMishumar Uba Min HaMazikin. It's a night that's for that time and for all time in the future, Uba, for all the future generations. That's what the Pasuk said, the Dor HaSam, that for all the future generations, it will be a night of protection. So the Mazikim, these demons, these Shadim, the Zugos, will not be able to harm us. So that's what Rav Nachman says. That's why Chazal weren't worried. Teretz number one. Teretz number two, Rav Amar, no. Kol shel bracha mitztarif letova, ve'eino mitztarif lera. That's because there's benching over here. The benching is a kol shel bracha. So a kol shel bracha can only be added to protect you. So if you have an even number, the kol shel bracha can make it an odd number. But if you have an odd number, the kol shel bracha of benching will not make it into an even number. So how many kosos do we have on the Seder night without benching? Three. So therefore, the benching is the fourth kos. That can't make it into Zugos. It can't make it into four, Rava tells us. If we had, let's say, four kosos, which would be a danger, then the benching could make it five. But we only have three kosos besides the benching. So the benching can't make it into Zugos. It won't make it into four cups. It's interesting, both Rashi and the Rashbam don't have the girsa kos shel bracha, they each have the girsa kos shel birchas hamazon. And my guess is because all the kosos are really a kos shel bracha, and why would you think it's talking specifically about birchas hamazon? So, and that's why they have the girsa kos shel birchas hamazon specifically. In any event, that's Rava's teretz, teretz number two. Ravina says teretz number three. Arba kose takinu rabbon and derecheres. All four of these cups are individual units. Each one is a separate takana by Chazal to demonstrate our cheres are going out from Shibud Ligula, to go out from the Shibud Mitzrayim into Tzias Mitzrayim. And therefore, kol chad v'chad, we turn to Kuf Yud Amud Aleph, mitzvah b'yapei nafshohu. Each one is a separate mitzvah, and we don't say that there are four kosos, we say that there's one kos. And then one kos, and one kos, and one kos. It's four separate single kosos. Each single kos is not a zugos. They're odd numbers. Each single kos has no problems with it. The fact that you have four single koses, that's not a problem. So that explains the four dalid kosos. Now we go back to the Braisa, where he said, lo yaset tzroch of trey. Person shouldn't have relations with his wife two times. So Gemara says, Amai, what's the problem? Nimlachu. Nobody starts off and says, I'm going to have relations twice. They have relations once, and mistama, they're going to be satisfied. If they're not, then they choose nimlach to have relations a second time. So therefore, this is different than foods. Person takes out two candy bars, so he says, I'm going to have both candy bars. So he's going to have two. Here, the person said, I'm going to have relations with my wife, and then he had another idea. I'm going to have relations again with my wife. So therefore, that's nimlach. That's not two. That's one and one. So where it says, Amar Abaye, Hachi Kamar, this is what the Pasuk is telling us. Now the girsa that we have is, Lo Yochal Trey, the Yishte Trey, the Lo Yaset Tzrochav, Afilu Pamachas, the Mecholushu Misra. That's the girsa we have. I'll explain it, and then I'll say the other girsa that's on the side. So it tells us over here, a person shouldn't eat two things, and then drink two things, and then have relations even once, because it's dangerous. Dil mecholish umisra. Because the two drinks that he had, the two foods that he had, that's going to put him in a position of sakana, and then even having one-time relations is going to be dangerous. As the Rashbam explains, person, lo yochal trei v'yaset tzrochav, that's the girsa on the side. So a person shouldn't have two items, and then have relations, even one time. Klomar, Adam Shachal Zugos, if a person had two items, it's my two candy bars. Yizor ba'asmo, shlo yishamish mitoso, achrei kai, kain, he shouldn't have relations right afterwards, azman meruba, he should wait some period of time, because dilma cholish machmas tashmish, because he'll be in a weakened state after relations, ba'aydi de bezugos koi misra mazle, and since we're dealing here with Zugos, that's going to put him in a dangerous situation. So the Giras on the side said, a person shouldn't have trey, eating two things, lo yochal trei v'yaset tzrochav, lo yishta trei v'yaset tzrochav. It goes on either one of them. It's really the same understanding, but a slightly different girsa. Bottom line is, that this could be, Rachmana Lislan, he could get harmed because of the Zugos. This is a good break point for us, so we'll stop the shir over here today. Mi'etz Hashem, everybody should have a good Vach.